the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, moti kate, rito kopoto keta, zudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine essence, true men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Imagine if some of you are not born again. If you didn't meet Jesus.
Hey.
Lord.
Imagine if the gospel never came to Africa, amen. Never come to Africa. And you were born, what would have happened to you? Where would you have been? Some of you would have been palm wine tappers tapping palm wine in the village. Some of you would have been priests of your family idol. No, just imagine. Let your mind run through it. Amen. But thank God for Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is faithful. That you are saved is worth throwing party every day. Amen. Kalarabo soshoto kebrekepo soshoto kepa. You know, I told you 2 weeks ago that you must learn to celebrate your little victories. Learn to celebrate your little victories. Don't let Satan lie to you when he keeps your eyes on the things that are not working yet. And who told you anyway that they are not working? Don't let Satan put your eyes on those things. You sit down and then begin to think and begin to celebrate the little victories that you have seen. We call it celebrating little victories. And then you dance and dance and dance for what? For a profit of 20,000 you made in a whole month. Your mind may be telling you your mates are making 2 million in a month. And then you tell your mind, I don't have mates. Listen, that is for real. You don't have mates. You know, when you understand that, you take the pressure off yourself. You put the pressure on God's word. You don't have mates. Did you hear what I said? Oh, my mate. No, you don't have mates. The day God created you, he put you in a class of your own. And your job is just to outdo your yesterday. Amen. Just to outdo. You are in competition with yourself. Only with yourself. Is somebody listening to me this morning? You have no mate, you have no mate, you have no classmate, you have no age mate or grace mate. God put you in a class of yourself. And then you look by the lens of God's word to measure your progress, to measure how you're doing. You don't look around to measure how you're doing. Because if you look around to measure how you're doing, you will be wrong all the time. All the time. Number one, you think you are not doing well when you are doing well. Number two, you think you are sinking because you are looking at everybody is gone. Why you are not sinking? Haven't I told you before that there are different kinds of buildings? A man building the bungalow will finish before the man who is building a skyscraper finishes his foundation. Foundational. So everywhere is just scattered with sand and metals and iron. And this guy says, you are still building. You are digging a foundation. I've finished. I've moved to my house. And you are wondering, and I'm still digging foundation. Yours is a skyscraper. And the foundation has to go deep down. Is somebody listening to me? Is somebody listening to me? No comparison anywhere. Celebrate your little victories. Dance about it with everything you have. God has been faithful. Amen. God is a good God. Lift your two hands toward heaven and give Him praise this morning. And give Him worship. Just send Him something wonderful. Thank Him for where He brought you from. Thank him for where you are now. Thank him for where he's taking you to. Just bless him. Just exalt him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Tell him something wonderful. Father, we thank you. Father, we are grateful. Our hearts are filled with gratitude. Our hearts are filled with praise. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. We thank you. We may not be where we want to be yet, but we sure know where we started from. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We love you. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. We exalt you forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here? Hallelujah. God is good and his mercy endures forever. We give him praise and we give him glory. It's a communion service. We share briefly. Then get into drinking blood, amen, and eating flesh. Hallelujah. You know, that's what happens at communion. The Bible says Jesus, after he had supped, took the bread. He broke it, said, "Take it. This is my body." He didn't say, "This is bread, take and eat." He said, "This is my body, take and eat." In fact, in that John 6, he says, "For my body is meat, for my flesh is meat indeed." He said, "Except you eat my body, you have no part in me." The Bible says many were offended and stopped following him because it sounded strange. How would you want to eat somebody's body? And again, he took the cup and said, "Take, this is the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink." And Paul told us that he said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do this in remembrance of me. You show forth the Lord's death." It simply means at communion, we are eating flesh and we are drinking blood. To what end? To activate and renew our otumokpo. Amen. You know, that's what he's talking about. And I'm going to share with you very, very important things this morning. Very dear things that I want you to put to work all the days of your life. Listen, the guys out there know exactly what they are doing. They know exactly what they are doing. They are deliberate. They know what they trust. They don't submit proposal for a contract and go and sit down thinking that the way they put the proposal together is so smart, so intelligent, so pinned. I mean, when you read this proposal, you fall for it. The guys out there have enough sense to believe that it has nothing to do with how wonderful your proposal was written. Are you following me? And how close you are to the government. They know better. So when they draw a proposal for contract, they know how to follow it up. It's just that the folks in church don't know how to follow it up. And listen, our own follow up is not by meeting people from office to office. No, we follow up by blood. Oh, is somebody hearing me this morning? Is a blood follow up? Are you listening? Is a blood follow up? You know, someone unknown from campus, amen, wants to contest for the next election. And he came, he traveled, he came to see me and all that, at a particular level, at the state level, state house of assembly level. And I was glad, I was excited about it, but I had to bring his attention to some very important things. And one of the things I was sharing with him was about blood, about knowing what to fall back to, about understanding exactly how we do our own things. Good intention is not enough. Christian friend, understand this. Good intention is not enough. Good intention is not enough. I say it again. The guys on the other side know exactly what they are doing. They know exactly what they trust in. They know exactly how to overturn things for themselves. But we have a better vantage point. All we need to know, all we need to do is to awaken to the things that work for us. And listen, what we have is greater than everything they have put together. It's just to know. It's just to understand. You can't go out for political position without understanding the mystery of the blood. You are finished. You can't oppose the people from the other side when you don't know how blood interacts, how to make the blood hit the dancing floor. Are you listening? So we don't go there with good intentions, with just good intentions. I need to help my people. It's not enough. When you are faced with the forces, listen, every man's promised land is filled with giants. Never forget that. I don't care what God has called you to do. I don't care where God has sent you, or where God is preparing you for, or what God has been telling you about. Never forget that sight, that you will meet giants in the land. And also don't forget that you have been furnished with everything you require to bring the giants on their knees before you in absolute surrender. Never forget that. Everything you require, the provisions have been made. There are giants in the land, but provisions have been made to bring them on their knees before you in absolute surrender. In the fashion world, there are giants. In ICT, there are giants. In politics, there are giants. In economy, in education, there are giants. In the health sector, there are giants. Wherever God has called you to function, there are giants there. If you really want to represent God there, you have to understand this. But number one, they are giants. But number two, you are well able. And you made of Caleb and Joshua. He said, we are well able. These people have bought bread for us. He said, let us go up at once to take them down. There was something they knew. They were confident in the covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've started teaching today. I don't know how. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't know how long. If I'm able to finish today, well, I don't think so. We'll be running for two, three weeks. Amen. Christ's blood, our Passover and our takeover. Write it down. The blood as our Passover and our takeover. The blood as our Passover and as our takeover. Write it down. In this place is our custom to write when the word of God is being taught. So if you are just joining us, understand that. Christ, blood, our Passover and our takeover. Thank you, Jesus. We'll go to Genesis 3. I think we'll start from there to give a background to the teaching. Look up at me, everyone. Right from the beginning, right from Genesis, God's answer to the sin problem and its destructive power has been blood. Never forget that. Right from Genesis, right from the beginning, right from the moment man fell at the Garden of Eden, when Satan came in the serpent and tempted Eve, and then Eve spoke to her husband and they partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil that were warned against not to. And by doing that, took side with Satan, and by doing that, committed treason. By doing that, fell short of the glory of God. By doing that, died spiritually, meaning got separated from God. God's response to the sin problem from that day has been blood. Very important. I need to understand that. When you read Genesis chapter 3, after man fell, the Bible says when he heard the voice of God in the cool of the day coming to him, what did he do? He ran. They ran and hid themselves. They hid themselves. And when God asked Adam, he says, Adam, where art thou? He said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. Where did fear come from? Is to show you that the first thing that happened to man when he fell was that he lost his right standing with God. He lost his righteousness. That's the first thing. Adam lost his righteousness. Because the absence of righteousness is the presence of fear. The presence of righteousness is the absence of fear. No wonder prophet Isaiah said, in righteousness shalt thou be established. He says, and thou shalt not fear. Thou shalt not fear. So why was Adam afraid? He lost righteousness. No more right standing with God. That's why I believe it was Kenyon that defined righteousness as the ability to stand in the presence of God without fear, without guilt, without condemnation. And you must also remember that when the second and the last Adam came, Jesus Christ, he procured for us righteousness. Never forget that. Adam lost his righteousness. But here's where I'm going. When God appeared, before God came, man had his own solution for sin. What did he do? The Bible says he took fig leaves and covered himself. Listen, fig leaves each. Fig leaves each. So he covered himself with something. That means every of man's attempts to help himself in sin will create more discomfort. Are you listening? But when God came, the Bible says he took the skin of the animal, that wet, warm skin with blood, and clothed man. And that was a symbol. He took a lamb without blemish. He took an animal. Are you listening? And you agree with me that when God touches anything, he's sanctified. The Bible says God by himself took the skin of the animal. When you study in context, you know that that skin still had blood. It's skinny with its blood, warmness, and then covered man. Blood hitting the dancing floor. Is somebody listening? And again, you fast forward to Enoch, you fast forward to Noah. No, it's amazing that the three times God swore in the Bible, it was connected to sacrifice. They were all connected to blood sacrifice. All. In the days of Noah, in Genesis chapter 9, I believe, after the flood, when God swore, 9:10, when God swore to Noah and swore to, by extension, to the whole human race, thank you, Holy Spirit, to the whole human race, that I will no longer destroy man with flood like this. It was a response to something. The Bible says Noah took of animals. Probably that means he extinguished or made some species of animal to go in extinction. You know, the Bible says he took the male and female. But the Bible told us that after the flood, he took some animal and sacrificed them. And the Bible says, and the Lord smelled the sweet smelling savor. He smelled the aroma from heaven. He said, I swear, the power of blood. I swear. The second time was when Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac. Do you know he sacrificed him? The Bible says, in the mind of God, Isaac was sacrificed. Isaac died and he received him in a figure. Meaning Isaac died and was raised back to life. He sacrificed him. He said, take your son, your only son whom thou lovest. God is definite and clear. Your only son. And that's a serious statement because Ishmael was alive. And that was God talking. He said, take thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest. What happened to Ishmael? That's for another day. Your only son whom thou lovest, take him to the mountain that I will show you and sacrifice him there. The Bible says, in the morning, and Abraham departed. Of course, not telling Sarah. Amen. Took the boy, took the servant, and was heading to the mountain to kill the son that God. Oh, what a man of faith. Why did he do that? Listen, it wasn't a blind procedure. Abraham had a vision of the resurrection. He knew that God also was able to raise him back to life. Are you listening to me? And that's why I told you that our giving in the kingdom must be undergirded by faith. Are you listening? Don't I believe that? You know, someone was writing rubbish on Facebook. I was laughing. I said, that's why they are trapped for life. I say, why would somebody say he's sowing seed? Are you a farm? That they say they are sowing seed to you. I looked, I said, yeah. Some people will suffer for so long. Because they have been taught wrong and they are too arrogant to learn. Do you know calling material things a money seed is biblical? And it's in the New Testament. Go and study 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Paul referred to the things that were given as seed. So it's not some cooking up by 21st century Christians or 20th century preachers. Paul called them seed. He talked about the collections, the things that were ministered to the saints. But the saints ministered. He talked about the collection of the things that were given to the saints at Jerusalem. He called them seed. And in fact, you don't even need to see that to believe that material things or money could be causing. When you study the whole Bible, you know it's consistent. You know that for every physical thing mentioned, there's a spiritual significance. I've taught you before about layers of scriptural interpretation. Meaning, in one verse, God hides many things. You keep unveiling and unveiling. One verse can have eschatological meaning, impartation meaning, faith meaning, messianic meaning. Do you understand? One verse of scripture. You can't say this is what he's saying and this is what he's saying. My God. So much ignorance. Hallelujah. He sacrificed his son and saw that God was going to raise him up. That means you can give too. Well, your primary motive for giving is your love. That's the primary motive for giving. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And you saw from scriptures that you should give. So when you act, listen, I've told you about discretional love and what's the other one? Or feminine love. You have to understand this. When to a woman, love means tell me that you love me, give me tender loving care. To a man, love means if you love me, keep my commandments. And when you read the writings of Jesus very well, it's very clear. Jesus didn't say, if you love me, tell me that you love me. That's emotional love. God's love, how God rates your love for him is discretional love. Because we are his bride. Do you understand? It's not if you love me, no. If you love me, keep my words. He said, he that keepeth my words is he that loveth me. So the proving our love for God is keeping his word. When you tell him you love him, he likes it. But what impresses him is keeping his word. It's keeping his word. So we give because we love God. But the Bible says when we give, there's also something that must be on our mind. Love, and then the first thing is honor. The second thing is love. We give because we honor in obedience to his word. We give because we love God. And then the third thing, according to scriptures, we give in expectation of the harvest. It's not because you are greedy. Listen, greed and giving don't go together. Yes, the primary way God kills greed is to ensure you give consistently. Do you understand? Because you can never give your way into greed. You can only give your way out of greed. So the talking and the criticism that prosperity preaching that talks about giving is to sponsor greed is a lie. If you are to give the way God wants you to give, you will kill greed. Because your pastor and God will tell you, give this person. You don't even know him. See your neighbor. They have no eating. Give him. Give him half of what is on you or the whole of what is. Do you understand? You can't walk in greed like that. Are you listening? Glory to God forevermore. How did I get into all this? Abraham saw that God was going to raise him up. And when he made that sacrifice, God told him, now I know. And then what followed? Swear. He swore, in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will do what? I will multiply. Who know what, when the third time, the third scenario where God swore? Who knows? He didn't swear to Solomon. Did he swear to Solomon? Yeah, the sacrifice of Jesus. But he spoke by the prophet before Jesus came. When he says, he said, like the waters of Noah. You know, it's the same thing he said. In Isaiah 53, talking about the waters of Noah. No, not 53, Isaiah 54. And then he swore that he will no longer be angry with you. Why did he swear that he will no longer be angry with us? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus. When you study Isaiah 53, it talks about God bruising for us. It talks about the passion of the Christ. We shared that last week. Are you following me? The power of the blood. The power of the blood sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 15, let's go there. In Genesis chapter number 15, Genesis 15. I'm going to read the story of, don't forget, we're talking about the blood as our Passover and our takeover. The blood as our Passover and our takeover. The blood as our Passover and our takeover. You know, let's get his background in Genesis 15 first. Then from there we'll jump to Exodus 12 to look at when the Passover happened and the things that happened with the Passover. Now here is Abraham. I want you to follow closely. I want to follow closely. You can start from verse 8 for me, please. I want you to follow this closely. Now, God called a covenant with Abraham, or God raised Abraham. He called him out of his people and told him that I'm going to set you apart for what I want to do. And the Bible told us that the calling of Abraham primarily was to create a lineage from whence the Messiah should come. Are you following me? And God called an everlasting covenant with him. With him and with his seed after him. What God had in mind was not just the Jews. A lot of people have not understood this thing now. We talk about the Abrahamic covenant according to the old covenant. According to the old testament. And then the Abrahamic covenant according to the New Testament. But the Abrahamic covenant itself is an everlasting covenant. Never forget that. It's an everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. It will never cease. Because God said so. But you see, there was a version that has to do with the Mosaic law and the children of Israel at Sinai. And then we have the ultimate consummation of that sacrifice, of that covenant by Jesus coming. So here is God calling a man out of his people. He said, come out of your country, come out of your kindred, come out of your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. And the Bible says, and Abraham departed. And God said, I will bless you, I'll make your name great, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You remember that, right? And the journey with Abraham started in Genesis chapter 12, I believe. God saving things, and then Abraham went down to Egypt. Things happened. Abraham was already a prosperous man. I want to bring your attention to something. Abraham was already a prosperous man. Abraham was doing well. When you study Genesis 13, verse 2, the Bible says, at that point, Abraham was extremely rich already. Extremely rich. Genesis 13 verse 2. He was already wealthy. He had a lot of money. At chapter 14 we saw that Abraham had servants. 318 servants trained in his house. He was not a small man. Is somebody listening to me? He wasn't a small man. But yet, what God was after was beyond the money and the doing well. That's where I'm going to. If he was doing well, doing great, the conversation that happened in 15 didn't have to happen. If that was all that was on God's mind. Listen, what is on God's mind is not just to give you money. What is on God's mind is you inheriting the nations. That's where I'm going to. That's where I'm going to. Many believers don't understand this. And that is why we look up to the world system. Instead of the world system looking up to us. So a Christian is in school. He thinks the government is his hope. He thinks the company, the oil company he wants to work for is his hope. Because he thinks God's blessings is just for him to have money, have some nice cars, have some millions in his accounts. Abraham was doing well, but God showed us clearly that what is on his mind is not just doing well. It's about taking possession of his inheritance, which is the nations. Are you listening to me? That's what is on God's mind. This is your Gary and Gran not thinking. It's not what is on God's mind. Trying to get by is not what is on God's mind. No, you can check it out when you get home. Abraham was already doing well. He was prosperous. He was doing well financially. He had servants. He had flock. He had silver and gold. Amplified said he was extremely rich. And God met him in Genesis 15. I said, Abraham, this thing is beyond just what you have. What is on my mind is you taking possession of the land. Having the nations as your inheritance and the utmost part of the earth as your possession. Listen, until our minds shift, until the mind of the believers of the church shifts from just thinking, when we say God's blessings, what I have on the inside, I mean, what I have on the outside, how my salary is, or do you understand those natural physical things? Which has to follow the big things, because the less is included in the greater. If you don't shift from that and start thinking of ownership, if you don't understand that, you don't even understand what we're talking about, the blood as our Passover and our takeover, because it's huge. Look at what the natural Jews have in the flesh. And the Bible says, when you study the Bible closely, you will know that they are just a shadow of the real. Do you know those guys believe that they own the earth? You know, I was listening to a preacher recently, and then he said he was in Manhattan. He's a Nigerian. He was in Manhattan. He went to New York, and then he took a taxi. It was on one of the streets in Manhattan, which is, hope you know that New York is the financial headquarters of the world, the financial nerve center of the whole world. He said Manhattan was dry. Everywhere was closed. Everywhere was locked up. And he was wondering, Manhattan dried up. So he asked the taxi man, what's happening? He said, you know these Jewish people? When they are on holidays, nothing works in New York. I said, everywhere is closed. I said, my goodness. No, how can you explain it? The Jews constitute 2.5%. About 2% of the world population. No, 0.2 of the world's population. But a quarter of the billionaires and the multi-billionaires are Jews. 25%. If I say that 40% of all the professors in the top schools in the world are Jewish. And the statistics goes on and on. You think that's normal? 25% of Nobel Prize of Science are held by Jews. You think that's normal? There's no coincidence. You think it's just cultural, they raise their children well. No, there has to be a divine reference point. Do you understand? There's no coincidence. A Jewish man will teach his child the Torah first before they send him to public school. You are the one that send your children to public school without teaching them the covenant. But they will teach you the covenant first and the workability of the covenant before they send it to public school. Before they corrupt your minds. Are you listening? So, a Jewish boy goes to a public school thinking that there is something different about him. Believing that God willed the whole world to his great, great, great grandfather called Abraham. Believing that the school he is attending, even though his father doesn't own it, he was willed to his great, great grandfather called Abraham. Believing that he has the right to rule the nation where he lived, whether it's from there or not. Are you listening to me? This is how God wants us to think. So it wasn't about Abraham doing well. It's about an inheritance that must be possessed. It wasn't about Abraham doing well. It was about God's heritage. and God's eternal purposes, what God intends to do through him, bringing the nations into obedience, bringing the nations. Is somebody following me this morning? And give me verse 8 now. Let's start from there. Genesis 15. Or rather, let's continue from there. You must understand this as a Christian. It will give a new meaning to your Christianity. You know, a Jew can leave a multi-million dollar organization in the U.S. and go and enroll as a private in Israeli army. Are you aware? As a private. And he's not going there to say, I run that company, I'm multi-millionaire. Commission me as an officer. Why? They were told, let Jerusalem come to your mind. Let Jerusalem come to your mind. He said, wherever you are, let Jerusalem come to your mind. Have you listened to the anthem? Israeli anthem. It's about Elano. Hey, Jerusalem. It's about Elan. Da 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 da. You know? Activa. It's about a land. It's about land. Is somebody learning something? Let Jerusalem come to your mind. He leaves. He goes to be a private. Why? There's something greater than the money in his hand. He knows there's an inheritance. Yes, sir. And he was told that he needs that small piece of land in the Middle East to be able to dominate the whole world. He was told that they need that piece of land to build a temple for the Messiah to come. So they live for a higher purpose. They live for a higher purpose. You are in the same class with the guy from the other world, reading medicine. You are thinking of, I'm going to get a good job. At least I should be in the middle class of the country. Marry a wife, have children, and send my children to good school. So you are in biochemistry class and listening to have a good job. He is listening to the class on poisons because he knows he can use it to poison the enemies of his God. What am I saying? There's a kingdom thinking. It's not pink. He's thinking of how that can position him to move the agenda of his religion forward. You are thinking of how to eat food and drive car and live in the house and marry and have children. Not thinking of something greater. I told you as humans, we're created for something greater. Not to eat food and drive car and live in the house. That is for animals. Somebody listen to me. That is for animals. Your life must be driven by God's ultimate agenda. Somebody listen to me. So he's listening and he has the big picture in mind. And then the guy in fellowship is there listening and he's seeing him having a job in Federal Medical Center. He thinks he has escaped hunger and poverty. Our lives are worth more than that. Somebody listen to me. Put that Genesis up now. I'm doing all this talking so that it can be up. All right. He says, and he said, Lord, whereby shall... Okay, no, go back. Go back to verse 7. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of the land of all the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. I want you, the conversation has changed. The conversation has changed. Listen, when you are in a city, in any institution, you must think of governance in that place. Did you hear what I said? You must think of how to have influence on the political system, the commerce, the economy, the education of that city. Are you listening? And it's not important which nation you are. You find yourself in Europe, the same thing. You're not there to look for food and protect your papers. No. No. When you think that way, you see that God will deliver nations to your hand for his name's sake. He said, for he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the land of all the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. The conversation has changed. Next verse. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, he said, Lord, I know the world I live in. You don't just inherit land like that. There has to be a supernatural token. That's what he said, you know. Hope you know that I lived in the days of sorcery on the higher level. He said, Lord, how am I going to know? And he said unto him, hey, yeah. Let blood be involved. Let get blood involved. So that your doubts... Now, don't forget that up before this time, Abraham had been talking to God. God had been talking to him. God is not just introducing himself to Abraham. Are you listening? But when he said, look, I have brought you forth to inherit this land, Abraham had to be sure. He needed an assurance. He needed an, are you following me? He needed something to hold on to. Blood. He said, and take me an heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old. Why are there three? For another day. A turtle dove and a young pigeon. Next verse. And he took unto him all this and divided them in the midst. Now, if you've studied about blood covenant, that's how it works. Time will not permit me to get into that today. Maybe next week. You that will separate half this way, half that way. Living animals. Do you understand? So the blood will be flowing. And usually you have a trench. And the blood will be flowing. And then men, that's usually when men cut covenant with themselves. It could be individuals or villages or towns. That's what they do. They bring those things and cut them. And blood is flowing from here. Blood is flowing from here. And they stand in the middle. And then they begin to talk. We take an oath that our village shall provide defense. You will give us food. You understand? Whatever the term of the covenant is. And the blood is flowing. That's what is happening there. He separated them in the midst and laid each piece against each other. You understand? But the birds divided it not. Next verse. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Next verse. Oh, glory to God. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. You know, God's presence invaded there. And he said unto Abraham, this is God now. This is God now. He said, know of a surety, Calabaya, by the token of this blood, know of a surety that I see shall be a stranger. Now he's prophesying about the children of Israel being in Egypt. That your seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. Talking about Egypt. And shall set them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Oh my goodness. With great substance. Maybe when we get to Exodus, we'll balance this back. Next verse. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Hey! We can spend... Let me jump. Let me not stop, by the way. Now, these are the people that were temporarily occupying that place. And it came to pass that when the sun went down... Oh, I want you to notice this. If you didn't get anything from this service, get this. That when the sun went down, it was dark. And behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. Abraham was sleeping. That means God actually did not enter a covenant with Abraham. He entered a covenant with himself on behalf of Abraham. Two parties were there. One is symbolic of God the Father. One is symbolic of the Christos. I told you, Christ is conceived in the Old Testament. We see him in different forms. That was Christ being the burning lamp. He said the smoking furnace and a burning lamp. They were the ones that were passing in between the pieces. I told you, two people will stand in between the pieces and make covenant. But here we have the burning furnace, the smoking furnace, and the burning lamp. The father went into covenant with his son on behalf of Abraham. So all that Abraham lived for is to enjoy the benefit of the covenant. He did not have any parts to keep. I told you, we are not in a covenant with God. We are beneficiaries of the covenant. But there is a covenant. And that covenant is an everlasting covenant. That blood covenant. So God stood in that blood and swore to Abraham. He stood in that blood and swore to the heir of the promise. He couldn't swear by any other. He swore by himself. So to break his word, you have to destroy himself. Do you know why they kill animal and stand in between? They are saying, the symbol is, if we don't keep our own part of the covenant, may we be like these animals with the blood flowing like this. So God is saying, if I don't keep this covenant, may I be like this animal with the blood flowing like this. And you know he never gets there. Is somebody listening? So the Christ appeared there. We're going to get into that. Am I boring you? And bam! No, look at the next thing. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. But Abraham was sleeping. Saying, you know what he's saying now? He's declaring the benefits of the covenant. Unto thy seed have I given this land. Now, you will notice that God, he said, by this covenant, I'll give this land unto your seed. And did not give Abraham his conditions. Well, he finished the condition when he stood in blood. What I give you this covenant, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. Next verse. The Kenites and the Canaanites and the Gadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the all the ites. You know what he's talking about? The political sector, the economic sector, fashion, sports, ICT, entertainment, construction. Is somebody listening? The Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Can you see? He's mentioning all the land he has given him by the token of this covenant. By the token of this covenant.
Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore.
Let's go to Exodus 12. Let's look at the Passover. Let's look at the Passover. Exodus 12. We'll look at that quickly, then go to 1 Corinthians 5, and then make comparison. We'll just read very fast, 1 to 5. Exodus 12, 1 to 5. I'll read it. And the Lord spoke unto Abraham. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, now, you remember this part of the story, right? After many things have happened. This was God's last card. The blood. He knew that once the blood hits, that's why I told you, once the blood hits the dancing floor, it cannot be the same. You see why we talk about the communion? One major way we apply the blood of Jesus, this blood of the everlasting covenant, is by taking the communion. That is what the Bible tells us. It's not by pouring the blood of Jesus, by pleading the blood of Jesus, by covering and soaking people. You know, a traveler said, we soak this guy in the blood of Jesus. How do you want the driver to see? We soak the driver in the blood of Jesus. Shout, blood of Jesus. We cover. No, you will not see that in the Bible. Let me tell you the truth. You can't see it in the Bible. The application of the blood is communion.
and verbal affirmation of what Christ has done and of what the power of his blood holds. Oh, that in that day, after he died and has shed his blood, he entered into the heavenly holy of holies as our high priest with our name on his lips. Hey, with our names on his lips. And then he began to speak. He began to speak. Do you know Jesus entered the heavenly holy of holies with your name on his lips? With his blood, he entered into that heavenly shrine with your name on his lips. You know, one of the major powers and strength of our covenant is the high priest that we have. It's the high priest. You know, the covenant that men cut with men, their high priests are mortal. The people that officiate the covenant, they are mortal. But we have a high priest who is born with an endless life. The Bible says we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens alive. How many high priests enter heaven alive? From the earth. It gives us an uncommon advantage. An uncommon advantage. So here they are. You say, take a lamb without blemish. Take your lamb. Okay, your lamb. Let's jump to verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Thou shalt take from the sheep and from the goats. All right, let's jump to verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins gathered and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and of beast. And again, all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I shall see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's jump to verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel on the two sides of the posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your house to smite you. Now, let me just say a little thing, something here before we go to verse 31 to 36. Now, can you imagine, after some of you that don't, somebody say, let me say this now, so that somebody can know something. I say, Pastor, you mean if somebody just lied and then he was crossing the road and car killed him and he's a Christian, you mean you go to heaven? Let me scatter your head now. You mean somebody did not confess that he stole meat from his mother's pot and that the trumpet sound, he say he's going? Just hold on. Here is the story of the Passover. Hold on. God said, as I pass by, the only thing that will stop the destroyer from going in is not the righteousness of the people inside. Hey, listen, hold on. It meant if an Egyptian, that a Shekepa can find his way to the room of the Jew that is marked with blood, the destroyer will not say, no, I see an Egyptian inside. No, no. He said, when he sees the blood. Listen, your guarantee for a home in heaven is the blood of Jesus. Your guarantee for entrance into God's heaven is the blood of Jesus. I've told you again and again, heaven is not a reward for good living. Heaven is a place of reward for good living. If you don't know that, your theology is not straight, because it's clean scriptures. He said, the moment I see the blood, I'm not going to look into. Now, what happened? I gave you a scripture last week from Numbers 23. When the prophet Balaam Balaam stood upon the mountain and saw the formation of the children of Israel. He said, oh, Israel abided in our tents. How goodly are our dwelling places. He said, there is no iniquity found in her. For the shout of the king is in the midst of her. The children of Israel, you said there is no iniquity found among them. Nobody's there. You read Numbers 22. He said, no iniquity. He said, God has not beheld iniquity. God has not. And I told you last week, that formation was the cross. There were tribes to the north. There were tribes to the south. There were tribes to the east. There were tribes to the west. And then the tabernacle was in the center. When Balaam stood upon the mountain and looked at, he saw the children of Israel arranged like the sign of the cross. That was their formation. It was the formation of the sacrifice of Jesus. It was on the cross he shed his blood. He now says, God has not beheld iniquity. He has not. You have common sense. The children of Israel that we know. Is it because they did not commit? Talk to me now. Don't be religious. But why has he not beheld iniquity in them? The formation of the sacrifice. The blood. The blood. The blood. It says, when I see the blood on the doorpost, I will pass over. Regardless of who is inside. The Bible says, when the children of Israel went out of Egypt, it was a mixed multitude. Meaning there were people that were not Jews. There were people that were not Jews. It was a mixed multitude. In fact, they were the ones that caused the problem later. But to show you the power of the blood, he said, once I see the blood, I pass over. Now look at the children of Israel. A whole year, you go and make sacrifice, atonement, once a year. Have you ever thought about it? Everything you were doing, you wait till 1 year. 1 year, and then you, in the new creation, you say, you confess sins every day. Sin of omission, you are not serious. The Bible says they were making sacrifice for sin once a year. And even with that, God was not satisfied. Why? He said because he did not remove the consciousness of sin. So, you know how the children of Israel did sacrifice for sin once a year? You come and bring, you say, oh, everything I've done, this is a sacrifice. Lord, forgive us. Like the high priest. The high priest will put his hand on two goats. One the sacrificial goat, one the scapegoat. The scapegoat goes by the hand of a worthy man into the wilderness, which was what Christ did after John the Baptist laid hands on him. And he was driven by the Spirit, which is the worthy man, into the wilderness. Hope you know that John the Baptist came from the lineage of the priest. It was Leviticus playing out there. He was the son of Zechariah the high priest. So he was there. He laid hands on him, baptized him. After that, the Holy Ghost drove him. The Bible says he was driven by the Holy Ghost to the wilderness. The hand of a worthy man. Is somebody listening to me? Listen, the Passover handled sin forever. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Handle the sin problem forever. Look at this. He said, purge out therefore the old living, that it may be a new law, as ye are unliving. Unliving means holy. Amen. For even Christ, Christ is our Passover. He says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us. That's past tense. Christ is our Passover. Oh God. By the token of the Passover. Listen. By the token of that Passover, they were preserved. They came out of Egypt, which is a type of the world. Meaning by the token of Christ's sacrifice, this is how men come out of the world into the kingdom of God. By the token of the Passover, their enemies were judged. The same by the token of the blood of Jesus, there's judgment upon Satan and the adversaries. And every time we, he said, whenever we partake of the blood at communion, we show the Lord's death. We show the Lord's death. That means we'll play out what happened at Passover. I pity anybody that comes after us. That means you go threaten in the office, on the street, in school, go and drink blood and eat flesh. Is somebody listening? Somebody comes to threaten your life in the dream, whether with physical weapons or occultic weapons. Take the blood. You say, Christ, my Passover has been sacrificed for me. Let the angel of destruction pass through this land and go after everybody that has held me in bondage. We call it the mystery of the blood. The mystery of the blood. By the same token of Passover, they went out with great substance. Listen, there's a connection between blood and favor. There's a very direct connection between blood and favor. That's why you don't go to important places to do things without taking communion. Take it. Do that ritual. Take it. Oh boy, there are rituals in the New Testament too. Somebody say, grace has come. Jesus has died. There's no need for us to take communion. Yes, that's what one grace guy said. He's a guy. He said, Jesus has come. We don't need to take communion. Has Jesus not died? Has he not shed his blood? Let me tell you something. Maybe let me say this at this point. I taught you about the balanced theology of grace. Listen. They are part of this Bible you cannot tear away. You can't tear it. You have to accept it. Holy living is in this Bible. You can't tear it. Do you understand? You can't tear it. Is somebody listening to me? You can't tear it. Jesus has said, take this communion in remembrance of me. You can't tear it. But he said, it doesn't fit into what you understand. Understand both of them. And practice them. Do you understand? Is that clear enough? You know, let me tell you something. Most times people get into those excesses because of some ties they have with people. When they want to please people. There's something I vow never to do. Click. No. No. I love people. If you know me, I love people. I respect people. I honor people. But all this click, we are the apostolic prophetic people. We are the faith people. We are the grace people. We are the holiness people. When people have those ties, even when they are seeing clear truth in scriptures that their movement don't agree with, they can't practice it. Let me leave you for another day. Glory to God forevermore. Is somebody getting blessed? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's just read 36 to 38. Then we'll pause, take the communion, and continue next week Sunday. And the Lord gave the people... Okay. Maybe we should start from... Let's start from 31. And he called... so that we can laugh at the devil small. And he called for Moses. That's Pharaoh now. And Aaron by night. And said, rise up and don't wait till daybreak. When blood moves, urgency, haste, urgent favor. I hear that urgent favor. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. I told you last week, the Lord spoke to me that this second quarter is going to be lifting favor. Favor that will change people's estates. That will change people's status. Unusual favor. Lifting favor. That's the word. Favor that will lift you from where you are to another place altogether. I prophesied to someone this morning. At this table of the blood of Jesus and of his flesh that will partake, I release that favor upon you. In the name of Jesus. When men see you, they just want to favor you. When people see you, they just want to favor you.
When kings see you, they just want to favor you. In the name of Jesus, people upon their beds will be thinking about you to show you favor and kindness. In the name of Jesus.
Let's finish the reading. He said, he called a man and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. As blood hits the dancing floor, you will have it as you have said.
Amen.
I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
I said, at this table, you will have it as you have said.
Amen.
Some of you have made demands in prayer. You made declarations of your faith. You have put your faith up, making demand on what God has said. Today, you will have it as you have said.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I prophesy to someone, you will have it as you have said.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, go, said the Lord, as you have said. Also, take your flocks. You know, before he was negotiating, he said, take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. This is subduing. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. The arrogance of the world must be subdued like this before the rapture. You hear what I said? This is perfect picture of rapture. Are you aware? Exodus is a picture of rapture. The arrogance of Pharaoh was humbled. That's what's going to happen. I've told you again and again, the church is not living this world as an escape. We are not escaping. We are living in glory parade. In glory blaze. We are living. The Bible says Egypt was glad that they left because they oppressed them. By the hand of the prophets. He said, Moses have made you a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron shall be your prophets. And he brought upon the land of Egypt, Payagaba, wonders upon wonders. That's what will happen before the church is taken up. The church will be in charge. We will cut the shots. They say, no, stay in church. You can't have the politics. You tell them, we have the politics. We have the economy. We have the sports and entertainment. Are you listening? He says, and bless me also. The man was subdued. You know who Pharaoh is? He's a God king. He said, I should bless him. Let's continue. And bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. Ah, is somebody seeing this? For they said, we be all dead men. He said, if this will not live, we are dead. We are dead. May terror come upon your enemies. He said, for we will be all dead of men. Look at 34. And the people took their dough before it was living, their knitting troughs, being bound up upon their clothes, upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Watch this. Watch this. Blood and favor. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Oh my God. That's the scripture for wealth transfer there. That means the wealth transfer we're talking about is going to happen on the wings of blood and favor. You know what I said? Write it down. The wealth of the wicked is being transported to your hand as the seed of Abraham on the wings of the blood and favor. There's a place for hard work. Yes, we know. But you open your mind. If all you get is what you work for, then you are living a cursed life. There must be an element of favor in your life. And we have seen that the blood of Jesus procures favor. So in your business dealings, as you do your best, expect the favor of God. Expect the unusual moving of God. Expect the unusual movement of the hand of God behind your affairs. Let me tell you something. I'm hoping that sometime this year I should enter into teaching on the quantum leap. Let me tell you something. Never believe that your progress is gradual. It's not scriptural. It's not God's plan. In fact, it's not God's plan for humanity itself, let alone Christians. Do you understand? Now, there's a place of making gradual progress, but you can't use your life to make gradual progress. You have just one lifetime. Do you understand?
You know, one guy sang a song. They say gradual progress in life. They are not talking to me. That was the song. Say they are not talking to me. And it's true. I say me too. They are not talking to me. Listen, there's a concept of the quantum leap. When we teach about it extensively, we'll talk about it. There's a concept of the quantum leap. Do you know what has brought the modern technologies we have today? Telecommunications, television, is quantum physics. Are you aware? They observe that an atom, for some reasons, just jumps from an orbit to a higher orbit. It just jumps and then starts rotating and then jumps. Meaning there's a place you are working hard, you are making small progress, but there must be seasons for jumps. There must be seasons, and I'm saying this so that I can expect it. In God, progress cannot be gradual all your life. You hear what I say? Progress cannot be gradual all your life. It must be interrupted by seasons of quantum leaps. Where you just jump and you don't look like where you are. You just jump. And you know what they've discovered in quantum physics? That there are only two options. They say if an atom doesn't jump, it goes into irrelevance. It dies. It ceases to exist. That's the term in physics. But if the particle doesn't, if the atom doesn't leap to the next level, it ceases to exist. Now you know why many people are irrelevant in their 50s and 60s. Because it's a law. It's a law. There must be seasons of jumping. In ministry, it's the same thing. Do you understand? In business, it's the same. In career, it's the same. There must be jumping. In the bank, you're on the counter. Suddenly, you become a branch manager. From there, they are calling you to be a director in Lagos. Do you understand? Hi. Somebody is not listening to me. Jumps! Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. I'm out of time. Give God praise for His word that has come to you. Have you been blessed? Just worship the Lord. Can I have the ministers? Could I have the ministers? Amen. Just line up here so that I'll make an altar call so that people can come out. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just speak in tongues right where you are. Don't stop. Speak in tongues. Bless the Lord. He's worthy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
Sing like never before.
Sing like never before.
Supernatural advantage.
Amen.
I thought somebody was going to rejoice at that word. It's a month of supernatural advantage. Amen. And that means it's a communion of supernatural advantage. Hallelujah. You know what it means? It means you bid for something that others are interested in. Something higher suddenly will speak for you. You also know what it means. All through the month, there will always be an edge, a supernatural edge about what you do. Just like you are planting, you know you stopped in one ridge. The next day you came, two ridges were planted. That's supernatural advantage. I mean, things are happening beyond your human effort. Things are happening. You know clearly that, look, oh, this is beyond what I put in. Am I talking to you this morning? Do you believe that? You know exactly, this is beyond, I'm talking to someone. You know exactly, Kai, this result, this month, is beyond what I put in. That is your portion in the name of Jesus. I want to make an altar call quickly before we take the communion. And the ministers, I want speed. Is that okay? Please, you guys can come out. Just come out and stand there. Okay. The rest of you, just we can fire them so that we can be fast. When it's time to take, you can be fast. Hallelujah. All eyes closed. I want to make an altar call. Please, can we bow our heads? Keep standing. Close your eyes. If you're here this morning, you've not given your heart to the Lord Jesus, I want to pray for you. You're saying, Pastor, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Or I'm not sure about my relationship with Jesus, or I'm backsliding. I want to get restored to the Lord. Restored to the Lord. I want to pray for you. Right where you are, just raise your hand. Raise your hand this morning. Say, Lord, I come to you. I want to make it right. I want to receive the sacrifice of your Son. Everything we have said, it means all that is required is to believe. Is to believe. Right where you are, just raise your hand. And I will pray for you. Raise your hand. You are giving your heart to the Christ. I mean, to the Lord Jesus. You want to receive His life. You want to receive forgiveness. Just raise your hand. Raise it high. Nothing to be ashamed of. God bless you, my brother over there. God bless you, my brother over there. God bless you, my brother over there. Raise it high. Raise it high. God bless you, my sister. Raise it high. Whether you are giving your heart to Christ afresh, or you are rededicating your life to Christ, just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Keep those at high. God bless you. God bless you. I see more hands coming up. Just take a step, a bold step of faith, and come forward. Come forward. Come here. Let me pray for you. Let me make contact with you. Just come forward and say, Lord, I want to make it right with you. I want to surrender all. I want to receive your life. Just stand here. I want to receive what you have for me. Just come out quickly. I saw a hand there. I saw a hand there. I saw a young man, your hand was up. Don't be ashamed of anything. I saw a young man there. And worship. You can stand. Just lift your hand. Those of you in front, just lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Just lift your two hands. If you are in front, just lift your two hands. And say, Father, I've come before you. I receive your salvation. I receive your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is your Son. Talk to God. You are not leaving this altar the same. You are not leaving this altar the same. God loves you. He has accepted you. Now we are going to pray this prayer after me. All of you in front, is that okay? You are going to pray this prayer after me with your hands lifted. You need to say something. The Bible tells us that for you to be saved, you need to believe something in your heart and say something with your mouth. Is that okay? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died for your sins, and that He was buried. He was raised after 3 days for your justification. And then you confess Him that He is your Lord and your Savior. And then you confess His righteousness. You confess His life in you. Is that okay? Say this after me. Say, Dear God. Say it boldly. Say, Dear God, I come to you today. I believe that you love me. I believe that you care about me. I believe that Jesus is your Son. He died for my sins. After 3 days, He was raised for my righteousness. Today, I confess that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I receive forgiveness of sins. I receive righteousness into my heart. Today, I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. I'm a new person now. In my heart, things have changed. In the name of Jesus,
Father, I pray for every one of them standing here. I pray that your hand rests upon them. I pray that your grace rests upon them. I pray that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. Today, in the name of Jesus, they will grow to become mature and effective believers. Mature and effective citizens of the kingdom. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Congratulations. Celebrate God. Celebrate God. Congratulations, guys. Amen. Jesus loves you. This is not to display you as a worst sinner. Jesus loves you. Are you happy that you came out? Get prayed. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And you are accepted. Amen. You will follow someone down to the back so that they pray for you briefly, get you filled with the Holy Ghost. They'll give you a form to fill. On Tuesday by 4 o'clock, we have new believers class here. And then automatically, you're going to join the prayer unit for 2 months. Is that okay? For 8 weeks. So that it can help your faith grow. Is that okay? Celebrate them as a go. God bless you. Congratulations. You'll come back to your seat and partake of the communion shortly. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. For this is the communion of your blood that we take. There is a communion of your flesh, of your body that we partake. We do this reverently. We do this with honor. We do this with joy. We do this with understanding. Lord, at this table, sicknesses are healed. At this table, questions are answered. At this table, burdens are lifted. Yokes are destroyed. In the name of the Lord Jesus. At this table, your hand is mighty upon your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, at this table we command judgment upon the enemies of the church in this city. In the name of the Lord Jesus, at this table we declare favor unhindered. Profuse favor. Free flowing favor profusely abounding. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Could we have T.O.B. just sing worship? Now we're going to do this together. The communion is already blessed. The Bible says we should do it reverently, meaning don't do it playing, don't do it distracting. Do it with understanding that look, this is the blood of Jesus, and this is body and his flesh I'm taking, and my life cannot be the same. Amen. Do it with understanding, and like I always say, that faith is most powerful when desire is specific. I want you to release specific desire of the communion. Amen. It is growth, expansion, direction, divine direction you need. Whatever you need, put it on the communion. And say, Lord, touch this area of my life by the reason of this blood. And then beyond that, after you take it, I want you to prophesy. Are you listening? Prophesy. Meaning the Spirit of God will cause words to well up in your heart. Prophesy them.
Establish the furniture.
Jesus, the right.
It's a month of supernatural advantage. And you will see happen. The Spirit of God will interpret it to your Father. And your eyes will see his glory. I read from Isaiah 53 and I prophesy from 52 upon you. In this month of April, you shall go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of their field of the field shall clap your hands. Because you are the one that the Lord has favored. In the name of the Lord Jesus, your smell is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, you have the dew of heaven, you have the fatness of the earth, you have plenty of corn and of wine. Let people serve you, let nations bow before you. Everything that has constituted an opposition, a hindrance, a stumbling block before you, before you, before your family, I stand in the name of Jesus, and that by the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant, those hindrances are removed. Those limitations are removed. In the name of Jesus. You will have testimonies heaped upon testimonies. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will go forth conquering and to conquer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you are taking possession of God's inheritance, of God's heritage. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of faith is upon you. The spirit of boldness is upon you. In Jesus' mighty name, give the Lord the loudest shout of praise. And hallelujah, you can.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.